Hello and welcome to the Be Unapologetically You radio podcast, where we talk about all things personal development, health and wellness, and of course, fitness, and how you can do all those things to create a lifestyle that works for you and not your next door neighbor. Because nobody else was made like you, and so why would you do the same thing as somebody else unless it works for you? So thank you so much for joining us today, and let's get started into the episode.
Hi friends, welcome back to the Be Unapologetically You radio podcast, and I am so excited for this episode today. This episode features another one of my friends. This is my friend Bridget Therese, and Bridget and I met at Lori Harder's A Tribe Called Bliss project in Austin as well, like my friend Jules that was on the podcast last week. And I really wanted to have Bridget on the podcast for you guys because she truly has a story of overcome so many challenges and not taking no for an answer, but also finding a way to still make progress in her journey, even when parts of her journey required somebody else's opinion in order to achieve that goal. And just some good old-fashioned advice, but also perspective on what it truly takes to take care of you and your health and also be the person you want to be to show up for in your family and in your life. So I'm so excited for this podcast with Bridget, and I can't wait for y'all to listen to it. Be sure to tag me and Bridget on your Instagram story and let us know what your biggest takeaway is. I'm just so excited. So let's get into the episode.
Hi, Bridget. Welcome to the Be Unapologetically You podcast. I'm so excited to have you here for the audience today.
Thanks for having me, Kelsey. I'm excited to be on today. Something fun to do on a quarantine Tuesday.
No joke. We're all still trapped at home. Currently, it is April 21st of 2020. For anybody that's listening to this, if this kind of gives you any context of where we are in quarantine.
Yes, it's been a long time coming, but hopefully we're on the tail end of it and can be out and enjoying life again soon, I hope.
Agreed, definitely. Well, Miss Bridget, I would love for you to tell the audience a little bit about you, and we'll take it from there.
Perfect. Well, I grew up in the Midwest in a large homeschool family of 9 kids, 5 brothers and 4 sisters, and we had a blast growing up. I got married really young. I was 23 when I got married and had my son a couple years later. He is now 10. I went through kind of a lot of different challenges growing up, as most of us do. And throughout that journey, fitness was one of the things that I kind of discovered that ended up helping me through a lot of those hardships. And I say that because I never used to work out, never knew how to lift weights, never knew how to do any of that. And when I first started, I just started with classes. And I realized how much just moving your body and building up your confidence overflows into all areas of your life. And so it really became a staple for the rest of my life. It's really been a big part of that. And moved to Houston about 6 years ago and still continue, although it's morphed and evolved into a different way that I do fitness now, but still on that journey and loving it.
Excellent. I would love for you to expand why you turned to fitness, and can you explain maybe some reasons it has helped you throughout your past and how it's helping absolutely. You now?
So when I grew up, we did not work out at all. Like we were homeschooled. Our workout was feeding the animals and like running around outside. And I always had asthma growing up. So anytime I tried to run or anything like that, I would, my lungs just couldn't handle it. So I've never thought I could work out. After I got married, I went from living at the house of 5 girls to, with my then husband on a dirt road in the middle of Wisconsin. And I had basically no friends. And so a flyer came in the mail for a gym nearby. And I was like, what, a gym like way out here? It was like somebody's bullshit. So I decided to go. And honestly, the first my first reason I ever wanted to work out was just because I was bored and I didn't have friends and I wanted to try and get to know some people in the neighborhood. That was my first reason for going. But when I went, they would do little runs and she's like, you can do it. You can do it. Let's just go. Come on. You got to come with us. And so I wouldn't want to be left out. So when I started running, I realized that, oh, hey, I can do this. And that kind of started me enjoying the taste of challenging myself and accomplishing it. And so I went on to run a couple half marathons. So it was really kind of fun to see how when I set my mind to something and I train my body, there's just so many side effects of that that are positive, that I really started to enjoy fitness for what it was.
Yeah, and how it helps you in more than just one way of, yes, it helps you with your body, but it's almost like it perpetuates a good cycle in the body and starts to gain momentum in other aspects of our life.
Yeah, for sure. And even then when I was just running, I loved running because it was such an opportunity to like just get lost in my thoughts. I used to never run even with music. So I would just get lost in my thoughts. I mean, it was out in beautiful country roads and it was such a good, like, energizing way to clear my mind. So I really enjoyed that. I still love running to this day. Once I get up to speed, and you know, yeah. Starting out's not fun.
Yeah, it definitely takes some time to work through that. I would almost say that runner's block when you're first starting to run comes really early when you're first working up to running. But it's almost like that block is building up your stamina because once you hit that, then you work through it and then you start to expect that know-how to work through it. And it's almost like wouldn't you say it's like a lesson for how to endure things in life as well too?
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it because, I mean, no matter what you do, nothing comes easy. We were talking about this before we started how it's like, every good thing takes time and we're very much in an instant gratification society where everything is supposed to come easy, whether it's pop on a waist trainer. It's like, no, you need to like look at your nutrition or look at other aspects of your life. Don't always be looking for the easy way out. And I think we're like subconsciously trained to do that when, if you just put in the time and effort and work through those challenging things, like you'll come out on the other side. Like it's possible.
Definitely. What was probably one of the biggest hurdles you had to overcome through that process for you that once you covered that hurdle, it was like, oh, this makes so much sense now, like in your health journey or regardless.
Let me jump a little bit more into my story and kind of explain where it kind of shifted for me real big or in a big way. So we got pregnant with my second child and granted I worked out and ate healthy and I was like very much like I'm going to need only the necessary pounds for this baby. Like I was always very health conscious when I was pregnant. And I was very much a planner. Like I'm like, this is what I want. This is when I want it. Like I had everything figured out. And so I just kind of was like going through life with these are all my expectations. And it's just going to happen. Like, kind of oblivious, but you know, oblivion is sometimes bliss. But I kept going and went time out on that story. When I was pregnant with my son Christian, my friend was competing in a fitness competition and she invited me to go see a posing class of her. So I went to the posing class and I was just like floored at how amazing and confident and beautiful these women were, because I'm used to like catty office stuff or just like drama, and these women were encouraging and they were helping each other, and I was just like, whoa, what is this? And I was pregnant with Christian, and so I was like, well, that's really cool, but I could never do something like that because, you know, I grew up too conservative or just for whatever reason. So I was just like, well, that's cool. So fast forward back to I'm pregnant with my second baby, and we ended up losing her. She was stillborn. And so I went through that tragic loss of being home on a maternity leave, not having anything to do. I stopped eating, so I was losing weight. And it was also like the winter, so I couldn't go running. Plus, I shouldn't go running because I'm not eating and I'm already super, I was really, really skinny at that point. So I finally came to this place where I was just like, I need to do something for my son. My son still needs his mom. I still need to like pick myself up off the ground. And I decided to do a fitness competition because why not? Like I was at the place where it's like, I've already lost so much that I've got nothing left to lose. And I had no idea how to lift weights. I had no idea how to do nutrition or diet or anything like that for show. So I ended up hiring a coach and it ended up changing the whole course of my life. And I'm like forever grateful for that. But yeah, so going through that and kind of competing and learning how to diet and learning how to work out and just being able to step on stage, feeling confident and just so strong after everything I'd been through, was one of the most empowering feelings, I've ever experienced. And so it really kind of pushed me into being like, well, I can apply this to lots of areas of my life. If I don't give up, if I follow the plans, if I, you know, hire a coach, if I do what I'm instructed, you know, things work out. So it was very much an eye-opening experience for me.
So let me see if I can sum this up in a little bow. So through that experience, you truly learned how strong you were, but you also learned how important it was to have help along the way, whether it was a coach or having a supportive system or having supportive habits to help you achieve your goal. And also during that time, you probably had to learn about behaviors that you were doing about to yourself, self-sabotagingly, that would inhibit you from achieving that goal as well. Am I correct?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's so many aspects of it, especially when you're training for a show. There's and this is the other thing I realized is how much fitness is very much a mental thing. And it is whether you're training for a show or whether you're training for a walk around the block, like there's the mental game of like, I need to do this. This is good for me, but I would rather sit on the couch. And it's a matter of like talking yourself into it. And I really had to learn how to do a lot of that. And just kind of even, I was a little bit too, my first time around was a little bit too oblivious to like get into the comparison game or other women or anything like that. I didn't really care. I was just, trying to figure out how to get myself there. And I didn't even think about all that stuff. Later on down the road, there certainly was that aspect of it, but in the beginning it wasn't. But I had to learn how to kind of like restructure my schedule so it wouldn't interfere with my family, or how I had to change my habits and get up earlier, and how I had to set a time to meal prep or just like do all these different things. So it taught me so much discipline. And like you said, there's just so many different pieces of it, learning how to work through like the self-sabotaging thoughts. Am I going to fall down and make a fool of myself on stage? Or, you know, there's just so many things that you have to work through mentally. And I think that realizing it's a mental game and recognizing for that helps you push through those things.
There's something I'd really like for you to discuss. And I want to talk about the importance of mothers and dads taking time for their health in order to help them be the parent that they want to be. I see a lot of my clients, and we have to have this discussion. I may not be a parent myself, but I saw the choices and the results of the choices my parents did and how it impacted their ability to be a parent. And this is a conversation I'm having constantly with my clients. So I'd love for you to elaborate why it is so important for parents to take time to take care of themselves and how it actually impacts their children, at least in your perspective as well.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I have this conversation probably regularly when I do these interviews, because people will ask, because for one, fitness competition is very selfish. And I don't recommend that everybody do that. That's not by any means the avenue or the end all be all. But the reason you need to make time to work out for yourself, and I talk about this in my book, and I've actually had a mom respond to this. So it was really fun to hear her feedback. I mean, we all have things that are pulling us in other directions, whether it's kids, pets, or jobs, or anything. But the reason we have to make time for ourselves, and I've learned this through personal development as well, is like you can't pour from an empty cup. If you're not energized, if you're not feeling good, and your husband or your spouse or your kids come home, and you're just like drained already from the day, like that's not fun for them. They're not going to have the best version of you, but I can tell you, like, and it's funny because yesterday was the first day I worked out in a long time. And I was like in such a good mood. And my boyfriend could tell, he's like, well, you're really happy today. And I know he would much rather come home to Happy Bridget than Grumpy Bridget, who hasn't worked out in 6 weeks. So there's something about putting aside time for yourself, which feels very selfish, but you're going to show up so much better, whether it's for your kids, for your spouse, for your job, or any other aspect of your life. So be a little selfish and don't be afraid to take time for yourself. And sometimes if I have, like when I have my son here, like I will try to incorporate him into some of that, because, you know, your time is limited together. So if like, hey, let's go to a bike ride together, let's go for a walk together, let's go play catch. So even if, it doesn't always have to be you by yourself. Of course, that's the most effective, best way. But if you struggle with that, balance it between doing stuff with your kids, taking your kids on a walk, and then doing stuff on your own time as well.
I think it's really important for us to model that, not just for ourselves or our children, but also to remind ourselves that we have got to have a little bit of time alone, because no matter what happens in the world, we're always going to have just ourselves. Yeah. And I hate to be like morbid in that sense, but a lot of times our lives fluctuate. And I think we forget if we don't work on our relationship with ourselves, and then we're stuck alone, AKA quarantine by ourselves, you're really going to figure out whether you like yourself or not. And I think a lot of people are having a wake up call right now, whether they really like themselves or not. And also seeing the importance of actually taking care of yourself and the things that are important to you, like your relationships, and making time for those, because you're starting to see what fruit you're bearing in that aspect. So for example, and I would love for you to elaborate this on y'all's relationship. I've realized the work that AJ and I have done in our relationship, how much it has helped us during this time of quarantine, when everybody else is filing for divorce and we're like, we're totally good. What are we going to have for dinner? You have your gin and tonic, and I'm going to have my sparkling water lime with Mio and have my cherry limeade. I mean, we've done so much work on that aspect. We've been able to manage or mitigate a lot of those processes because we have a process of communication, and it's made this experience so much better with everything else going wrong in the outside. What about you guys?
My boyfriend is the same as AJ. He is also working. So for him, for the most part, things are business as usual. So I would say the big difference is for us is like, I'm usually the one that's always going out and doing stuff, and I thrive on that. So when he comes home, I'm like, yay, a human. He's like, whoa, like what's going on? Like, and he can, I'll have good days of quarantine. I'll have bad days of quarantine. And like you said, learning yourself and figuring yourself out, like there's being alone and being forced to be alone definitely helps with that. And you kind of learn like, you know, how you spend your energy, like how to respond when you're having a good day, how to respond when you're like feeling down. Like, do I call somebody? Do I go take a nap? Do I watch another episode on Netflix? Do I go for a drive? Like, you kind of learn how to navigate those. For us, we've always got along super, super well. We've maybe hit like a couple little bumps in the road where I'm just like Sunday's truly his only day off. And by Sunday, I'm just like, I need to get out of the house. Like, let's go do something. And he's like, what? I want to just lay here. So I've gone on a couple of drives by myself, and that's fine. Like, that works for us. Like, if he wants to stay home and relax, and like, that's how he wants to spend a Sunday, I'll go get out of the house for a little bit and get my fix. And then we just come back and reunite. So it hasn't been, and I'm grateful for that we haven't had any, like, no filing for divorce. He hasn't kicked me out. We're not, you know, separating or anything like that. So I am fortunate that our quarantine, we had a great weekend, and it's just been really nice. So
yeah. And I think
we're all clear on that front, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is a great opportunity for people to learn a little bit more about each other, whether it's your children or your spouse or other people that you're living with. I've been reading the book, The Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin, and it talks about four personalities. Okay. And it's been really helpful because I'm a questioner. So so there's four areas. Mm-hmm. Let's break this down real quick. So there's the rebel, there's the obliger, there's the upholder, and there's the questioner. So the upholder will meet inner and outer expectations. The questioner resists outer expectations and loves the inner expectations. The obliger, which is the opposite of the questioner, will meet outer expectations and resist inner, whereas the rebel resists everybody and everything. Mm-hmm. So it kind of groups personalities into four categories in some capacities. And yes, there's like variations of it within there. But I found that to be really helpful because I've been able to help AJ start to meet some of his inner goals for himself. And he's been able to help me start to work through some outer stuff that I need to do because he's been able to relate it to my inner expectations. So it's allowed us to kind of start to figure out our nuts and bolts a little bit more.
Yeah.
Personality development's important.
Yes, personal development is a huge thing. I think that is one of the biggest things that kind of worked along with actually working on my body. Because when you go through a loss, like losing a kid, or I had some family challenges and stuff like that. And then I went through a divorce. So there's a lot of really big hurdles that I had to go through. And I mean, you choose your outcome. You choose if you're going to stay depressed, if you're going to be bitter and angry at the world. And granted, I was for a very long time. But eventually it comes to a point where it's like, okay, I can't live like this. I can't be angry forever, because it's like nobody cares. Like, get over yourself. And you're not going to get that sympathy from everybody forever. So I had to learn how to deal with these different things. And I started very simple. I started by reading books. My first book was You Are a Badass. And that was like the first personal development book I ever read. And then from there, I was just like, whoa, this is such a cool way of thinking. And then I went to like a Tony Robbins conference. And I just started like finding other people that also were on this journey of being a better person. And that changed so much, because not only was I going through hardships, and I was sure I was working out and doing good things for my physical body, my mental health. But I also learned how to navigate those. And when I was going through my divorce, I actually hired a divorce coach, and I was just like, I want to come out of this a better person. I don't want to come out defeated and having to rebuild myself up. So I want to do this in a way that is not ugly or just icky or anything like that. As peaceful as possible. And I had all of that. So granted, there's still things that I work through to this day. I think personal development is always ongoing. You always reach new heights. You always reach new layers of discomfort that you have to work through. And it's exciting. It's hard, but it's everything. It's how you continue to grow. If you're not growing, you're dying. And I just want to keep growing. So whether that's books or podcasts or having difficult conversations or just being more authentic with myself and what I want. It's a big deal.
And personal development is how we met. We met at a Lori Harder conference. And so that can be a great way to find accountability and find solutions for you when you find people that have similar objectives. A book that I would recommend is Dave Hollis's new book, A Skeptic's Guide to like Personal Development. Oh, the book title is actually called Get Out of Your Own Way, A Skeptic's Guide to Personal Development. I think it humanizes it a little bit more.
Did
because
you start reading it?
Yes, I got the audiobook and the Kindle copy, and it's been so good because it puts it in layman's terms for somebody who's like really, really new. I would honestly, like new to personal development, I would honestly recommend Dave Hollis and Rachel Hollis's books for personal development, because I think it's a nice, gentle way to get into personal development and start to really open up to concepts, versus like if you pick up emotional intelligence, you might just be like, kind of thing. So I would recommend that, whether it's audio, Blinkist,
I don't recommend going to. I don't recommend going to a Tony Robbins conference for your first time of personal development. I don't gotta ease into it a little bit, but I like that. That's a really good tip.
Definitely.
Start simple, and then you kind of gradually grow into it.
Same as habits and like fitness. Don't take on the whole world. You start on one piece of the pie and you move on from there for sure. You can't take it all at once. There's a few, but not everybody.
Yeah. I wanted to touch on one thing that she said, which is where we met at the book tour. And I will say that one of the biggest things I've noticed is when you start out on these journeys, people will challenge you. People may not support you. Your friends may question you, and you do whether that's a fit, you know, weight loss journey, whether that's you all of a sudden don't want to drink anymore, or all of a sudden you don't want to go to the clubs, whatever that looks like for you. When you make big changes or you start down this road of personal development, you will be challenged, and you may lose friends. Like I've, something I've struggled with is I've felt like I've lost friends along the way my entire life. And I finally had to come to a place where I was okay with it. I'm like, I'm continuing to grow and to better myself, and not everybody wants to do that. And that's okay. They're on their path, they're on their journey. If our energies don't align anymore, if like we can't have a conversation, or I don't feel right when I hang out with them, then it's okay to let that go. But like you said, we met at a book tour, and it's funny because we were both live in Houston, but we both did a day drive all the way over to Austin because we knew that other people like us would be in that room. And for sure enough, every single woman that walked into that room was like, "Hi, what's your name?" And it's not very often you can walk into a room full of, you know, confident, insecure, pretty, you know, every different shape and size of woman, and everybody just be there for the same reason. So we walked away with like 3 or 4 friends from that group because, and that we're still friends to this day. It's been over a year now, but when you look for it, there is other people that are on the same path as you. You're not the first person to ever go down this road. So there are other people who've been there and are happy to support you and be your cheerleader and cheer you on and be your friend. So you just gotta find it.
I think that's one of the beauties of the time that we're in. We live in such an area of social media and internet that we can find these people that don't exactly live in the same zip code or the part of town or are not your neighbor. I mean, you have the ability to connect with those people. So if you have that desire, you just have to start putting yourself in the rooms, whether it's virtually or physically, and you can find those people that are your people in your tribe.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable at first and it feels scary. I'm like, I mean, I had however long of a drive it is from here to Austin to be like, what the heck am I doing? You know, like this is kind of crazy. But when you push yourself out of your comfort zone or you kind of take a chance, I feel like the universe responds in a good way for you.
I agree. And I think every time you start to push those boundaries, I think you grow from it and you learn what you like and what you don't like and what you're truly capable of. I mean, we're all human. And I think we forget we all have the same 24 hours. And so we're all on the same playing field. They all had to learn the same lessons we're having to learn, whether they've learned them already or they have a new level of that lesson. It's a big old world of problems and we have to be problem solvers.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I would love for you to tell the audience a little bit about your business and kind of how you got into it. Cause I just find it so fascinating what you are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And believe it or not, my business started while I was in the fitness industry. So I do social media marketing for other businesses. So I am basically a social media manager or something, content creator, however you want to look at that. But it started when I was, once I competed the first time, I took it to a whole nother level and competed a bunch more times and got involved in a fitness competition team. I was an assistant coach and really took on the whole lifestyle. And while I was doing that, I started setting up photo shoots with models and photographers and started doing it nationally where I had different photographers and models I was connecting. And then one day I had one of my models ask me to manage her social media for her. And I was like, I don't do that. I was like, I just connect models and photographers. She's like, no, I will pay you to do my social media because you do yours so well. I was like, okay. I'm like, whatever. What's a few, you know, a couple $100 more a month. Why not? So I started managing hers, and then she referred me to someone else, who referred me to someone else. And so I still had a full-time job, and I ended up kind of getting away from the photographer model thing because it just wasn't very profitable. So I had my daytime job, and I started doing this as a side hustle. So every Sunday night, I would sit down for a couple hours and create content for the whole week for all my clients. And then fast forward 3 years, I got laid off from a job I worked so hard to get that was going to be like making so much money and all these amazing things. So I went from like sky high up here all the way to like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And thankfully I have a supportive partner, because he was just, I was like, do you care if I just try to build my business right now instead of trying to get another job? Because I felt so burnt out and just kind of screwed over by corporate America. I was like, the only way I will truly have security is if I create it for myself. And so for a whole year, I struggled like no other, but I pushed through it. And again, we talked about comfort zones, pushing through those things. I showed up when I didn't want to show up. I went to meetings I didn't want to go to. I got no's and I got more no's. I got a yes here, then that yes turned to a no. So it was a huge learning curve, but I'm happy to say that I'm in a good place now, and I've been able to work from home all this time. I've been able to travel and work, and it's just been a huge blessing.
That's amazing, and I'm just so proud of you and watching you go through that growing curve this past year and a half. So it's been so much fun and such a blessing to be your friend through that, my dear.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Kelsey. That means a lot.
And also, you briefly touched on it, but I want you to share your book too, that you just self-published, and you should really talk about that, because I want to hear all the details. I have not gotten to ask you about your book. So share it with the world and share how you came to that conclusion and how you published it. I want to know all the details.
Thank you for asking. So when I was in the fitness competition world and I had the assistant working with the coach, he was building his online business as a fitness coach from the ground up. So he quit his corporate job. And so I kind of got to see this whole business thing being built, right? And so he was always working on I learned all these things of lead generation and funnels and all these technical terms that are kind of more common nowadays. And one of the things he wanted me to do is write a book about me to write an ebook that I could give away to people interested in competing about how I train, how I eat, my disciplines. And so I had written some, or maybe he even wrote it for me. I don't remember. But anyways, fast forward, that was years ago. I never did anything with it. I had the guts of it, but I never did anything with it. And fast forward to last summer, I had just ran a series of empowering women through fitness Facebook live shows. So I'd interviewed women from around the world and had them share their stories. And then I did Empowered for Kids, where me and my son interviewed kids from around the world, or whatever, United States, I think that one was. And we interviewed them about what their talents were, things that they were working on. And then after that, I was like, what am I going to do? I've got nothing to do. And I'm the type of person that always has to have a project or be working on something. And so for whatever reason, one day I was going through my Google Drive and I came across my ebook. And I was like, oh, this is funny. Let me look at this. And I was like, holy cow, I don't believe any of this anymore. And I say believe, but in the sense of I don't follow any of my own rules anymore. And I'm so much happier. I have much better self body image. I eat way more flexible. I don't even go to the gym, and I'm in such a different place right now. So I pulled it up. I was like, I should just rewrite this. And so I started writing, and then I just, for probably 3 or 4 months, I would think of topics that I'm like, oh, I need to add that to the book, or oh, I need to touch on that. And so it kind of became somewhat of a personal development combined with practical tips, combined with here's what I went through when I competed, here's how I overcame these challenges, here's my story, here's how I did it then, here's how I do it now, and here's a bunch of resources that you can glean from. I'm here's a workout that I do at home, here's my cardio, here's what I eat, here's my supplements, here's everything I do. It's not send me money and I'll send you this and I'll tell you everything. It's here it all is in a very transparent, kind of easy to read way, where I just kind of did a brain dump, and it has my personal growth in there. It has the tools I used both mentally, physically, and practically to come to the place where I'm at today.
I'm so excited. And where can people find that book, by the way?
Amazon.com. That's the best part about it. It's just on Amazon Prime. So you can just go search Strong Mind, Strong Body. It's called Strong Mind, Strong Body, Fitness from the Inside Out. You can search by the title, or you can also search by my name, which is Bridget Treese on Amazon.
Awesome. And I'll have that linked in the description for you as well.
And yes, I appreciate that.
Of course. And there's one other thing I want to mention.
Yeah.
You should talk a little bit about your journey of getting signed and joining an agency. I would love for you to talk about that, because that is such breaking culture stereotypes right now, that once you reach a certain age, it can't happen for you anymore. So yeah. I would love for you to tell a little bit about that story as
sure.
well. Right here.
So what Kelsey's referencing is I was just signed by Naturally Fit Agency, and one of the biggest, or the biggest, fitness model agency in the United States. So years ago, when after I did my first competition, I will tell you that it totally awakened a new drive for me, and I just felt like there was more to my life and I wanted more purpose. After you compete, you kind of feel like you can do anything. So I was like, I want to be a fitness model. There's like no reason I can't. But I lived on a dirt road out in the middle of Wisconsin, and nobody's hiring fitness models out there, like for real. So, but anyways, I hired a photographer anyways. It was one of the few shoots I paid for. And I shot with them, and I got like my little profile picture. I got my cover picture looking all badass. And I made a Facebook page called Bridget Therese Fitness Model, which I have to this day. I was like 6 years ago. I don't know how long it is. And I'm like, I felt so stupid making it, because I'm like, I'm not a fitness model. I've never even modeled. I've done like one photo shoot, but whatever, here we go. And like, I got support like crazy. Like all my friends like my page and everybody liked my page. So that was years ago. I tried submitting to magazines. I tried doing more photo shoots. I shot shoots. I should have shot, like just learning it. Any opportunity I had to shoot, I basically took it as long as I felt safe and not weird. I didn't turn weird shoots down, but fast forward to like competing, and I got titles there, and still nothing ever came from it. I went to a modeling agency here in Houston, and I'm like, sure, we'll take you, but you got to spend $3,000 on our classes and do all this. And I was like, I'm already doing shoots anyways, and I get some freelance stuff by now. So I'm like whatever. Cause I got really good at branding myself on social media, as a fitness model. So people always just assume that I was doing work. So I got told no plenty of times. I even went to a conference called Fitposium, met with like the editors of the magazine, and like nothing really came of that. I met with Fitness Naturally Fit there, and she's just like, yeah, you know, maybe in the Houston market, but like nothing very positive or encouraging that was like, yes, I got this. So I kind of let it go. And then one of my clients, I had been doing work for her, and she's a pageant director. So one of her judges that comes and interviews the girls was this guy who owns that Houston market agency. And so I realized it. I put it together pretty quickly I heard another girl like, hey, can I send you my pictures? And I was just like, oh, I'm not going to do that. So he probably gets that all the time. I'm like, he sees me. He can see my personality. He can see what I look like. If he wants me, he'll ask me. And I let it go. I was like, I'm not gonna pursue that. So weeks and months went by, and I didn't even think of it anymore. I talked to him, I just talked to everybody and be, you know, whatever. And then one day, I don't know if it was the leggings I wore that day or what it was, but he's like, hey, I'm gonna give you my business card. Let's set up a call. And I was like, okay. And I did follow him on social media, and he followed me back. So that maybe helps, because then it's like, well, now he can at least see some of my pictures. So, you know, whatever. I was sort of strategic about it, but also let it go at the same time. And so we ended up getting on a phone call and did the whole interview thing. And they offered me, I don't know what you call it, a position, or offered me representation, maybe is what you call it. I'm still learning. And yeah, so 10 years later, one of those little dreams I had came true. So it's pretty exciting. I don't know what's going to come of it, but I'm here for it. And I'm excited to kind of check one of those boxes off my list.
I'm so excited and so proud of you for never giving up, but also being yourself through the whole process and not, I don't want to say pushy, because I think it's important to push towards your goals, but I also don't think it's a point of like, you have to do this for me kind of thing. It's a matter of, is this going to work out well for both of us at the same time?
Right. I didn't want to, it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, you know what? He sees my personality. He can see I'm short. He can see that I'm not like shredded. If he's interested, he can ask me, and I will just keep showing up and being myself and if he's interested, so be it. If not, my life is not going to change any, you know, in any negative way. So
that was my thought process behind it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that story. I think it's so important for people to hear dreams coming true and just maybe not in the time frame that we imagined.
Yeah.
So we're getting toward the end of our time, but I would love to ask you where people can find you and follow you and find all the things. And also if there's anything you want to leave the audience with, any advice, any thoughts, anything that's coming to mind.
Perfect. For places to find me, I'm Bridget Therese pretty much everywhere. You may see Bridget Therese Roma, which is my full name. But, you know, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, but I'm kind of embarrassed of my TikTok, so don't worry about that one. I haven't figured that one out yet. I'm working on it. And then, of course, BridgetTherese.com. You can find links to my book there and a little bit more about me. But connect on social. I love it when people reach out and follow or slide into my DMs with questions or encouragement. I love to have that. But as far as last thoughts, I would just say, you know, start where you're at. And like, this journey is your journey, and you don't have to, like, I give you permission to not compare yourself to other people, and you can just be, go it at your own pace. But just show up as who you yourself. And like, one of the biggest things I'm working on right now is being authentic to my feelings. Like, if it energizes me, I'm say yes to it. If it doesn't, it, like, I have permission to say no. And I just feel like really paying attention to how you feel and giving yourself that space to really show up as your best self is freeing. So pay attention to your intuition and take everything a little bit at a time. That's kind of like a whole bunch of things summed up into like one little, if you break them all down, that's some really good advice, but I just put it into a big cookie dough mix right there for you.
She just made you a chocolate chip cookie with an Oreo on top. So just enjoy that right there. For sure. I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Are you ready for the last and final question?
Yes, ma'am. Hit me.
Okay. So the final question is, can you tell the listeners how they can be unapologetically themselves?
Ooh, unapologetically themselves. I would tell you, it kind of goes back to my Oreo cookie that I just served out. But the thing is, I would say to really just pay attention to how you're feeling and acknowledge that, because your body knows, your inside, your soul knows what you need. And the more you listen to it, the more you're trained to follow and like let your heart lead you and all those things. And I feel like once you do that, you build up confidence to be yourself, so you can show up unapologetically yourself. So really listen to yourself. And the more you do so, the better it gets. And the more you can be truly who you are.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you for coming on the podcast. You are such a gem. And everybody go find Bridget and follow her. Go shoot all the DMs, all the things.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Thank you. And y'all have a wonderful day. We'll catch you on the next episode of Be Unapologetically You Radio. Dudes and dudettes, I hope you really enjoyed that episode. I love that you came and spent some time with us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please take a moment to review us on iTunes. It really does help the podcast get found and, of course, provides us feedback that we need to make the show better. You can also follow us on Instagram at Be Unapologetically You Radio, or you can follow Kelsey at Kelsey Lane Fitness. We would love to see you tag us and share us on Instagram or Facebook of you listening to the podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to this podcast. And remember, don't forget to be unapologetically you. We'll catch you in the next episode.